Amen. Just want to thank everyone who made this happen in the last week or so. This was a great deal of work. And so a lot of people came up, the musicians came up and set all this up, and put cameras, and just a lot of work went into this. And we don't hope to be here very long, but I sure appreciate what everybody has done to get us all together. And it's exciting to be together and to worship together. And I've wanted for a long time for you to be able to see the size of the church now. And so it has grown considerably. I believe that we're going to continue to grow. Wednesday we had the fall festival, and we had lots of people here that I did not know. And I just kept thinking, oh, we can get them, and we can get them. And this is somebody's family. They need to invite them. So you just keep inviting. We'll figure out where to put them, or God will figure it out. So I'm in Acts chapter 15 today. Acts 15, and I'm going to start reading with verse 24. We're going to read through 29, and I titled this, and I don't know that the title is very good, but I titled it, How to Know That Jesus is Leading. How to Know That Jesus is Leading. And I think that's a big question on a lot of people's heart. Is Christ leading me, or am I doing my own thing? And probably a little both, actually. But we'll figure out maybe some ways that we can identify where he is leading. And so Acts 15, look at verse 24. Said, since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same thing by words of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from the things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these, you will do well. And so when we started this series, it's been a long, long series. We actually started in John chapter 15, I believe. It was all about the Holy Spirit. And so when we went into Acts, it's still about the Holy Spirit. And I want you to understand how the Spirit of God works and how he's working in your life. And so of all that we have been talking about, I have been wanting to get to this verse. This is the verse that I thought, man, I want. And then today, coming in here, there was just great fear, quite honestly, that I won't do this justice, that you won't get what I'm saying. But really what I want you to hone into is it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit, or it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. That is critical words for us to glean today. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you, Lord. I'm so thankful that you are not contained to a building. Lord, that if we meet in a gym, or if we meet under the trees, or in a sanctuary, or our sweet Jordans, or wherever we meet, Lord, we have the promise that when we're gathered together in your name, that you're right in the midst of them. So, Lord, I know that this place contains the Spirit of God today. And I know where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty and there's freedom. But I also know that Satan wants to fight against that. So I bind the spirit of the devil. I bind that spirit from distraction in any way. And I pray, God, right now, Lord, that the spirit of freedom and liberty would be released in this place, and the spirit of revelation, Father, that we would receive what the Holy Ghost has for us today. Father, we look to you, Lord. Lord, I'm only a conduit, God, but you are the messenger. And I pray, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. Lord, be lifted up today in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So right after the disciples, the church has been started and the people are going out, one of the very first things was other people had went out and they had begun to bring confusion to the body of Christ, teaching an erroneous doctrine. And that erroneous doctrine is still going out today. And that erroneous doctrine is you got to do so many things. Sometimes you'll hear it this way: to be saved, you got to do this. And to stay saved, you got to do this. And these things you got to do. And we call that legalism. And so many of you have been brought up with a legalistic doctrine. And there's no joy in a legalistic doctrine. And so the other side of that is license. And so some people believe, no, we have a license to live for God. You know, a license to live any way we want to. The truth is not there either. You know, so what do we have? We have liberty in Jesus, right? There is a liberty, not a liberty to sin, but a liberty to live for Him, a liberty to let Him allow us. So when I grew up, you were told you can't wear your hair long and be a disciple. Women, you can't wear jewelry. Don't wear men's apparel. For God's sake, don't get a tattoo. That leaves a bunch of you out. Sorry, you're not going to heaven. You see what I'm saying? We make all these man-made rules and we start putting them on each other when Jesus says, I just want you to love me. If you will love me, my disciples that love me will keep my commandments. And it really is all about the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. And when you do something erroneous, when you do something that's sinful, when you miss the mark, then all of a sudden the Spirit of God says, that grieves me. And you know it. You know it. You may think you don't know it, but you'll know in your knower. Now you're going to hear me saying that and say, Pastor, you may need to explain that. That's as much clarity as I can give to you. You'll know in your knower when the Spirit of God speaks to you. You'll know Him by the voice, that inner voice inside of you, that this is not pleasing to God or this is pleasing to God. I'm amazed sometimes at how the church focuses on the negative, and we're really good about preaching, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, and we rarely get over to the cans. But you need to do this. You need to pray. You need to seek my face. I'm telling you, the scripture says if we'll seek him with all of our heart, right? He'll give us the desires of our heart. If you seek first the kingdom of God, it's just, if we keep him number one on the throne, he has a way of directing us and leading us into the right path. And we don't have to make man-made rules up. So in the early church, it was all about circumcision. Why? Because they were trying to make Jews out of Christians. It's different. It was different. We're not Jewish. We're not a sect of Jews. We're grafted into their vine. Thank you, Jesus. And they are wonderful. Why? Because they gave us the Word of God. I mean, people think all the time, why should I be praying for Jews? Because God loves them. They're God's people, right? And they need revelation. We ought to be praying. The Bible specifically tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You ought to be praying for that. Why? Because pastor said so? No. Who cares what pastor says? It's what the Word of God says. So the first thing I see in this is, are we going to become legalistic? Are we going to... And let me tell you, you think it takes a lot of faith in God to walk with Him? Pastors have to have a tremendous faith in Christ to preach this message. Because what I'm saying is it's between you and the Lord. Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That don't mean you make your own way. It means you listen to the Holy Spirit and He will speak to you. We have a promise from heaven on that. It's easier if I said, stop doing that. And then I become the police for the Bridge of Hope Church. So pastor starts calling people and pastor starts getting in your face saying, you can't do that and be a Christian. And what? That ain't my business. That's the Holy Spirit's business. And I'm not a good Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Everybody in here should amen that. He and I are like this, but no, I'm teasing. I'm teasing, really. Adrian Rogers said this. He said, holiness is not the way to Christ. Oh, let that sink in. Holiness is not the way to Christ. He says, but Christ is the way to holiness. Hallelujah. If you let that get you. In other words, you don't have to clean up your act. But when you surrender to Him, He will clean up your act. Right? What our part is having the faith and leaving some things alone. Just like I said, it's not my business to correct you. It's not your business to correct everybody either. And it takes a great amount of faith. Matter of fact, I get calls all the time. You know what so-and-so is doing? I said, no, and I really don't care. Right? It's not my business. It's Jesus' business. What I got to do is when you come into this house, that you get along with the presence of the Holy Ghost, and God can do more in 10 seconds than I'll do in my lifetime. But we have to trust. So they went to the Jerusalem council and they said, we need to get this clear. What do you want us to require of Christians? Because Christianity has gone out of the Jewish synagogue and it's now in the Gentile house. What are we going to do? We want to preach the same message. And they said this, we don't want to lay upon them any greater burden than's necessary. Think about that. I don't want to lay on these new believers anything unnecessarily heavy that God hasn't commanded, right? But we do that. And 2,000 years later, we're still doing that, right? Well, obviously, you wasn't raised like me. I'm telling you, this is the way I was raised. And he says, here's the four things that they said. Most of them don't seem to matter to us. It says, but abstain from things offered to idols, the meat that would have been offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and the last one definitely does concern us, from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these, you'll do well. Now, I could preach all day long about sexual immorality. And if I did start talking about sexual immorality, most of you would expect me to come over here and to preach to these kids. These kids are a reflection of you. And if you'll quit preaching, start praying, and start living the life before them, you'll be surprised that their life, what it will do, what will happen in their life. The one thing that confuses kids more than anything is for you to preach one thing and then live another. And the most immoral things that I have seen in my life, yeah, I won't go there. Okay, the next thing that I see is verse 28. He says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Boy, maybe that doesn't sink into you, but it sure does me. Because sometimes we're looking for a word from heaven. And so when I need a word, I go to His word. I go to prayer. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes God doesn't answer. Let me say it this time. Oftentimes, God does not give you a clear answer to what you're going through. And this verse may bring you some peace. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. What's that all about? That's all about the peace of God. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of the Lord rule and reign in your hearts. That word rule means umpire. Let peace umpire your life. Let it call the shots. In other words, if you are making a decision and all of a sudden you feel the peace of God lift, you stop. Don't make that decision. Don't go in that direction. You stop what you're doing because the Lord gives us peace so that we will see and know His direction, right? But when you have Tony Elkins, when he first started coming to the church, when we first started, 2008, we started as a satellite church. And I'd go back and I'd talk to Tony, and he would say, I feel peace. And so I would go back, and Tree would say, what's he say? And I said, we got him. Why? Because I knew anybody that understands the peace of God, he was answering me, I have peace here. See, sometimes people choose churches because of their music, or the preaching, or a variety of things. Don't choose a church like that. You choose a church where you have peace, where the peace of God comes into your heart, and you can feel His peace when you're in the place. And if you don't feel that, you're probably in the wrong church. You have my permission to leave. Not right now, but... Why? Because it is incredibly important to me that you're in the right church. The Bible says that He would put members in particular. He's got a place for you. And if it's not this place, I want you to be in the place that God has for you. Why? Because that's where it'll be a win-win. You will grow in the Lord, and you will bless them. Now, I pray it's here. I'll be honest with you. I hope it's here because I know what I preach. I know I preach the Word of God, and I know we lift up Jesus, and that's incredibly important. So today I want to talk to you about how the Holy Spirit leads, and I want you to know that it's not a New Testament thing. The Holy Spirit was around at creation. The Bible says that God spoke and the Holy Spirit went into action, right? The Spirit of the Lord hovered across the sea, right? Waiting what? On the command of God. You may be thinking, what's the Holy Spirit doing today? He may be waiting for God to speak over your life so that He can go into action and execute God's plan. In Exodus 13:21, we see that God led Israel. I've got a lot of verses, so I'm just, stay with me. God led Israel through the wilderness by a cloud by day and fire by night. The Holy Spirit. Psalms 40 verse 2 in the Amplified, He says, He drew me up out of the horrible pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, steadying my steps and establishing my going. If you don't think that God has a plan for you or a way for you forward, then you're really missing it. Because God does have a plan, an individual plan for each one of us. And it's imperative that we find out His plan for us. There are a lot of things that are similar that we have in common, but there are some particular things that God has for you. Bless the Lord. Appreciate your enthusiasm over that. Psalms 25, verse 4 and 5, He says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Teach me your way. Teach me your truth, Lord. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. Psalms 32, verse 8, He says, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So I've talked a lot about freedom. Now I'm going to back up just a little bit. There is a way that you're not supposed to go. And it's the way that you may think you're supposed to go. See, the plans of man leads to destruction. And I am amazed at how we don't pray today about things. I teach the college age class, and I asked them one time, I said, are you praying for your career? And they looked at me the way some of you are looking at me. Like, what? Are you praying for your future spouse? What? You're not praying about the most important decisions that you'll make in life? Dear God, then what are you doing? You're leading you. And that's dangerous. The Bible says in the Old Testament, one of the scariest verses, says every man did what was right in his own eyes. See, we are born selfish. And if I do what's right in my own eyes, it means I will take advantage of you so I get ahead. The way of a man is destruction. There's destruction ahead. And God throws up the signs, warning, don't go there. Don't do that. So I am not saying that you have liberty to live any old way you want to live. I'm saying there's a right way, there's a wrong way, and God knows the right way, and you know the wrong way. Amen. And this gets a little scarier. And he says, wide is the way that leads to destruction. Oh, so you've got a lot of friends on that way. You got a lot of people going down the wrong path. And narrow is the way that leads to life. So just because somebody tells you, well, so-and-so's doing it. Oh, that is not wisdom. Wisdom is to listen to me this morning and ask Jesus for direction for your life. He says in Psalms 37, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. You know why? Do you know why? Because he changes the desires of your heart. See, when you seek him with all your heart, all of a sudden the things that you used to think were so incredibly important are really not that important anymore. And all of a sudden the things that were not even on your radar is becoming important to you. And I'm going to tell you, that continues to change. I'm 63 now. And there was things in my younger life that seemed to be very important. And they are not important at all. But I'm going to tell you what is important is significance. What am I leaving behind? It's so much more important than money, than things. Is who am I taking with me? Am I sharing the love of Jesus the way he wants me to share? Is wisdom coming out of my mouth? That's important to me. I didn't get through there, did I? It says the steps of a righteous man or a good man are ordered by the Lord. Thank God I live on that one. And he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So if you think you're not going to make a few mistakes along the way, you're fooling yourself. Life is full of mistakes. But thank the Lord, the righteous man keeps getting up, right? And God says, okay, let's correct this a little bit. You know, I find that most people don't need a lot of correction, that the correction they need is to fine-tune. You just need to listen a little closer. You got most of it right, but you missed one little bit. Just listen a little closer. Psalms 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I tell you this, you're not going to walk in God's ways without opening the book. You gotta get his word in your heart. Proverbs 14:12, he says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is destruction. John 16:13 says, however, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and they were distraught that he was going to die. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he'll tell you things to come. That's our promise. You hear me? That's our promise. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. John 10:4 says, when he, brings out his own sheep. He goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That is a promise of God. You just need to settle that in your heart. My sheep, I'm a sheep, you're a sheep. My sheep hear the voice of God. Now, there's other voices speaking, so you have to decipher which one is the Lord. But the Holy Spirit does that for us. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He goes on, he says, he leads me in still waters, and he leads me in paths of righteousness. I've told you this before, but God didn't call us cattle, because you drive cattle the way pastors try to drive a church sometimes. They stand behind them with a whip and a prod and say, go this way, go this way. You need to do this, you need to do that. I'm telling you, if you'll follow Jesus, he doesn't push you, he leads you. In other words, he's the one in front. And he's saying, oh, come follow me, kids. This is the way, walk in it. He gets really specific too, because he knows your name. Hallelujah. He doesn't say number 11626. Come on this way. He says, Eric, that spells your name wrong. Follow me, son. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I like the NIV on this one because it says, keep in step with the Spirit. I love that. Walking in the Spirit is not a Monday morning direction. It's not a Sunday fill up and go the week. It's every day I'm getting in God's presence so he can direct my path. I'm telling you, if you'll start your day out with prayer, God will lead you all day long. Romans 8:14 says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Can I turn that around on you just a little bit? The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. If you're doing your own thing, you might want to evaluate your salvation experience. Oh, Pastor. Folks, this is serious stuff. Why are Christians crashing and burning? Is that God's will? No, no. I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. He's the life giver. Doesn't mean that life's going to be rosy all the time. But I'm going to tell you, it's real easy to slip out and start doing your own thing. When do we do that? Usually when we start getting a little cold and indifferent with Jesus. It's funny to me that when people get saved, boy, they're just so on fire for God. Oh, I need him. I need him. I want him. You let a Christian be walking with him for 10, 20 years. Somehow they have this attitude that I've got my act together now. No, you don't. Are you listening to me? I don't want to go a day without his instruction. I do not know what tomorrow has. And it may not be so rosy. Your life hadn't been so rosy. There's lots of you, I could look at you right now, and I could say, your life hadn't been rosy lately. Don't run from him, run to him. He is the only one that gets us through difficult times. I don't have the answer. My answers are always Jesus. I'm telling you, the godly people go through hard times. Godly people have divorces. Godly people get cancer. Godly people go through everything that the world goes through, but we don't go through it alone. He's with us. But don't stop calling out on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I love that verse. When we call out to him, he will be heard. He will be found. It's a promise from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 16. I want to do a little correction on this. It says, but as is it written, eye has not seen nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I promise you, you've heard many, many ministers pull that verse out of context and tell you that that's talking about heaven, and it is not. It sounds like it. Eyes not seen and ears not heard what God has got in store for us. But we just stop short. Listen to the next couple of words. But God has revealed these things by his Spirit. I'm telling you, you don't see the plan that God has for your life, but if you'll press in to know the Spirit of God, he says, I will reveal those things to you. The Lord is looking for people that will push past religion and get to know him. He says, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secret. No one can know a person's thought except the person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. We have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit. So we can know, listen to that, so we can know how many people in this world, good old Christian says, well, you can't know. You'll not know that you're saved until you get to glory. Well, if you believe that, you probably won't ever see glory. His word, it says in 1 John also, you can know. You can know that your heart is right with God, and you ought to know that today. Said you can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us, and I believe the first one is salvation. He says, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truth. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. But only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things. But they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? And listen to these last few words. But we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Did you get that? He has your answers. You may be sitting here thinking, well, I just don't know what to do. He does. I don't know if I should marry this one or marry that one. I have so many options. He knows. You don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. He knows. Why not stick close to the one that knows? And he says, the Spirit has revealed these things from God, and the Spirit will reveal them to you. So that you can know. So how do we know? God still speaks through prophetic utterances. You know that? The fivefold ministry has not gone away. God has not said, okay, all we need is pastors. That's nonsense. Why would he start off with something and then change it midway? God is still using prophets and evangelists and apostles, pastors and teachers for the equipping of the ministry, right? In other words, we need that. So in the book of Acts, there was a prophetic utterance and said, separate Paul and Silas for the work I've called them to do. God gives Cornelius a vision, remember? He tells Peter something else. He lets him see something as a vision. And then he says, oh, by the way, there's three men at the door, and you need to go with them. He talks to Ananias, and he says, hey, there's a guy that used to persecute the church, and he's over on Straight Street. He said, go down Straight Street to Judas's house, not Iscariot. And he says, there's a guy there that's blind, and he's been told that Ananias is coming or somebody's coming to pray for him. And Ananias said, I know that person. He ain't nice. He doesn't play nice. I don't think I want to go. And God says, you go. He does exactly what the Lord said. Well, how that? It's a prophetic word. Now, if you are given a prophetic word, we talked about this even in Sunday school, you do not make that happen. That's God's business. But he's told you something so that he will fulfill it. And when he does it, then you are able to recognize, God spoke to me. You know, I'm juicy again. I need to wear long sleeves, don't I? People need to know that God can speak to you. He has your number. He knows you. He can speak to you, and he will speak to you. He longs to speak to you. God speaks through people, not even with a prophetic word. But every once in a while, you'll just be talking to somebody, and they'll say something, and you'll know just like that. That was the Lord. The Lord just sent me a message. God spoke through a donkey. He can use you. He speaks through circumstances. But God, by and large, he speaks through his word. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for right thinking, for reproof, for what's not right, for correction, how to get it right, and for instruction, how to stay right in righteousness. What's my part? Seek him. Seek him. Seek the Lord. Isaiah 55 talks about seeking him while he may be found. And he says this, let the wicked man forsake his thoughts. Do you know what the word wicked there means? It's Isaiah 55, somewhere around verse 6, maybe 5 or 6. Wicked means twisted. Do you know? You have a lot of twisted thinking in your mind. And if you grew up in this world not serving him, you're 40 or 50 years old before you got saved, there's a lot of twisted thinking in your mind. And he says, let the wicked man, let the twisted man forsake his thoughts. What's he doing? Surrender. God, I'm thinking this way, but it doesn't really add up anymore. It doesn't line up with your word. Lord, I surrender these thoughts. Can I just say one? If we have little girls, we preach morality. If we have little boys, we tell them, sow their wild oats. That's twisted. You hear me? That's twisted. God calls all men to righteousness, all women to righteousness. The same thing we expect out of our little girls, we should expect out of our little boys. If you give them a license to sin, they will sin. And what one generation does in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. You better be careful what you allow. Now I'm preaching that legalistic doctrine. It just feels so good to me. Be careful what you allow in your house. Prepare your heart to hear from God. Mark 4 talks about preparing the soil. Do you know that's why we start with worship? We start with worship so that you'll get in the presence of God. So that when I sow the seed or whoever sows the seed, it lands in good soil. Do you know only, according to the word, only 25% of the soil is ready to receive the word? Just make it your desire. Lord, I want my heart to be ready to receive that word, to receive that soil. The last thing I want to end with is this, because there is a lot of confusion. How do we know if God's leading? I learned this from another pastor, and he says, apply the triple confirmation. Apply the triple confirmation. You probably ought to write this down. Number one, does it align with the word? God will not call you to do something that disagrees with his word. Does it align with God's word? Number two, does the Holy Spirit bear witness within me? You know what another word for that is? Do I have peace about it? Is the peace of God, does that decision feel peaceful? Number three, what is God saying through other believers? You know, the Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Can I add just a little bit to that? You make sure you get your counselors from people that believe.
Amen. Amen.
You better be careful when you go to the world to get counseling, because worldly people are going to give you worldly advice. And we need godly people to speak into our hearts and lives. There are people that have walked this thing out. There are people in this room that know what I'm saying because you've been through the fire. And there's other people that saying, Pastor, most sermons that you preach I like, but I hadn't understood a word you've been saying today. And I get that. I get that some of you are totally lost right now. But I'm telling you, God wants to lead you. Maybe that's all you need to hear. God has the ability to speak to your heart. Rarely will it be an audible voice. I'm not saying it can't be, because there are people that have heard the audible voice of God. I thought I heard it one time. It turned out to be my wife. But no, I'm teasing. By and large, it's the Word of God. But that peace is a big deal. I want to open the altars up today. Treva, if you'd come forward. Would you stand with me? I want to open the altars for those that are seeking the direction of the Holy Spirit. If you're seeking God's direction in any part of your life, it's a matter of faith just to step out of your pew and come and stand down here. We'll close with prayer today, and we will pray individually, but we will pray for you. There may be someone that lines up behind you to pray. If you need to say, God, I just need to be more sensitive to you. And let me tell you, the first thing you would need to be praying, God, I need to know you. I need to know you. I want to make sure that I know that I am a disciple. And so if you're here today and you say, you know, I'm not sure that I've ever surrendered my heart, then I want you to step out and I want you to come down too. God bless you, sister. You just come on down. There's a lot of other people in this room. Don't make her stand down here by herself. These altars ought to be full. You say, I'm just not sure. And you've never said, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. When you come down, I want you just to get my attention. Wave at me. Say, Pastor, I need you. It's okay. It's okay. Pastor, I want to know this Christ. And there are people that will be glad to pray with you. Amen. Come on, scoot on in, guys. Just scoot on in, because we're going to have people come behind you. All right. If you know what I've been talking about today, you need to get down here and pray for these folks. Say, I know what you're talking about, Pastor. I've been walking with him, and I know that inner voice. Deacons, elders, but there's others that you've been through it. You've been through it. You know one of the greatest ways you know that you hear God's voice? Listen, it's when you miss it. You can learn a lot when you've missed the voice of God. When you said, I just do it my way. Saddest song in the world is when people sing, I did it my way. I don't want to sing that. I don't want that to be my closing song. I want my closing song to be, I surrendered all. I surrendered all, and I'm listening to you, Lord. I did it your way to the best of my ability. Can we pray? Anybody need me to pray with you specifically? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you right now, and I thank you, Lord, for people, Lord, that are sensitive to the voice of God. And they're crying out to you, Lord, right now, saying, Lord, I need to know. I need to know your direction. Maybe there's something specific going on in their life. And they're saying, Jesus, show me the way forward. Lord, right now there's just a lot of confusion around all of my decision making, and I can't see my next step, but I know you know it, Jesus. I know you know my path. I know you're able to get me. I pray, God, open my ears, open my heart to receive your instruction right now. God, I plead with you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, reveal to me. Give me the mind of Christ like you said in your word. Let me know that I know that I know that I know that I am your servant. That you're leading me and guiding me. God, I'm not playing a religious game. I'm not playing a religious game. I long to be in relationship with you. I surrender all right now, Jesus. I surrender all. God, I surrender my successes and I surrender my failures. God, lead us, Lord. Lead us right now. Spirit of God. Spirit of God, have your way. Touch our hearts. Give us the liberty to find you and to walk with you. Lord, help us to walk in tandem, God, not to jerk against the leading of the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, we know. We know that you are real. We know that you are part of the Godhead and that you are God on earth right now. I pray right now, let these folks above all, let them hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. Let them know, Jesus, that they are your people. You love them. You love them. And Jesus, we worship you. Have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for those that have decisions to make. God, I pray, Lord, your word told Isaiah, I believe it was, he said, don't lean to the left, don't lean to the right, but listen for my voice. Follow my voice. Father, I pray that we would not get our direction from TV. We would not get our direction from the ways of this world, but that we would seek you with all of our heart. I pray right now for those that have a major decision to make right now. God, lead and guide those decisions and let the peace of God direct them. I pray, Lord, next week that there'll be people in this church that will come up to me and they'll say, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to me to do this, and God has been blessing it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I know you're faithful to do what we've asked. I know that you are our prayer listener and you're a prayer answerer, God. You answer the prayer. Lord, right now, your word says that your ears turn towards their prayer and your eye is upon the righteous. Right now, you see these folks and you know them. You know what's going on in their heart and mind. Spirit of God, lead and guide and give peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Sing that, Treva.
Holy Spirit,
you are
welcome here.
Come flood this place and
fill the atmosphere.
Your glory,
Lord, is what our hearts long for.
To be
overcome by your presence, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
nothing worth more that could ever compare. There's nothing here. You're our living home.
Come on.
Your presence.
Just raise your arms to the Lord as your antennas.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord
Jesus,
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
flood this place,
fill the atmosphere.
For just a second, the Lord just birthed something in my heart. If you've really surrendered it to the Lord and you're really asking Him to lead and guide, stop worrying, stop the anxiety. Now is the time to trust Him. Now worry will try to slip back in an anxious spirit. And you just tell the devil to take his toys and go home. You're not going to participate in that. No longer am I going to walk in worry. I'm walking in trust now. I'm trusting Jesus to lead and guide me. Now, I believe that was a specific word for somebody. So receive that. Receive that from the Lord, Brother Denny.
My daily Bible reading Friday, I started the book of Habakkuk, and the little intro it says that the name Habakkuk means to cling to, and that's just kind of been marinating in my spirit lately. So I just pray today that the message that you receive from the Holy Spirit, that you cling to that message, that you cling to the trust and the peace of the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.